Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the second lesson read in worship this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you'd like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, you'll find those written notes in the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. Can you believe that it's the middle of November? That Thanksgiving is a little more than 2.5 weeks? As we near the end of the church year, our focus turns to the end of time, to the time of Christ's return in glory. As we talk about the end times this morning on the basis of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'd like to use the analogy of a country road with two deep ditches. Picture a country road, gravel, built up high with deep ditches on either side. Obviously, staying out of one of those ditches is a priority. And through the morning, I've heard some stories when people weren't so successful in that endeavor. And because of the steepness of those ditches, there is a very real danger if one finds oneself in one of those ditches on either side. As we think about that analogy and think about the end times, the two deep ditches in this case are preoccupation and indifference. Preoccupation and indifference are those deep ditches that we seek to avoid as we think about the end times. In some theological systems, there is an inordinate amount of attention and focus on the details of Christ's return, and such was the situation with the Christians in Thessalonica. That's why Paul wrote to them about the end times in both of the letters in the New Testament that he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. Many in Thessalonica were concerned that they had already missed Christ's second coming. Others wondered, what about our loved ones who have already died? What's going to happen to them? Still others thought that, well, since Christ is going to be coming, we should just sit around and wait for him to return instead of living our daily lives. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul reassures them that those who have died in Christ will be raised on the last day, and they will join those who are still living, and they will be with the Lord forever. Here in 2 Thessalonians, he tells them not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, Paul writes. The Christians in Thessalonica, like many today, were preoccupied with Christ's second coming. As I mentioned, the other ditch in my analogy is the ditch of indifference. For as many people who are focused and preoccupied on Christ's second coming, there are at least as many, if not more, who are totally indifferent, who never think about the end times. In 2 Peter, Peter mentions that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Because now 2 millennia have passed since Christ ascended in glory, there are many who don't even think about Christ's return. Their mindset is, well, he's never going to come back. And they give little, if any, thought to this biblical truth. In our second lesson this morning, Paul avoids both of those ditches, the ditch of preoccupation and the ditch of indifference. He writes in a balanced way. He makes it clear that there is a very real danger as the end times approach. There will be difficult times, as he speaks about here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and elsewhere. There will be those who come and claim to be the Christ, saying, I'm the Christ, follow me, and seeking to lead people astray. There will be deception and false teaching, not just out there, but even from within God's church. Jesus in the Gospels warns of deceivers and false prophets who will speak falsely regarding his return. Paul's exhortation to the Christians in Thessalonica and to you and me this morning is simple and direct. Stand firm. That is Paul's exhortation. He writes, let no one deceive you in any way. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Don't be preoccupied. Don't be indifferent. Don't be deceived. Stand firm. We stand firm by believing God's promises. There are so many beautiful promises of God connected with Christ's second coming found in God's word. Trust in God's word of promise that we will be raised on the last day and we will join those who have gone before us and we will be with the Lord forever. Trust Jesus' words of promise. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Trust in those beautiful promises of our Lord. But standing firm also happens by exercising your faith. Paul writes, may God comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and deed. Elsewhere, Paul describes us as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. While we do indeed stand firm in Christ by believing and trusting in those wonderful promises, we also do so by exercising our faith, by living out what it means to be a follower of Jesus, by doing the work of God while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. Yes, the end draws ever nearer. Don't be alarmed. Don't be indifferent. Stand firm. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.